This month, our community and worship theme is journey, and I'm going to be speaking to several kinds of journeying. Today I'm speaking of the journey to abundance and to generosity, particularly generosity expressed for and within and to this congregation in so many ways. I start with an essay from my colleague, Erica Hewitt. Her essay is a reflection on a quote from Brené Brown, and here is that quote. Empathy is not finite, and compassion is not a pizza with 8 slices. When you practice empathy and compassion and love with someone, there is not less of these qualities to go around. There's more. Love is the last thing we need to ration in this world. The refugee in Syria doesn't benefit more if you conserve your kindness only for her and withhold it from your neighbor who's going through a divorce. Here is Erica's reflection on that quote. When I picked up her call, Kira's voice was thick with tears. Kira, one of my best friends, is the mother of 4-year-old twins, working full-time and grieving a recent divorce, which means she's also learning how to be a single parent. I lost it tonight, she confessed in a rush. The kids pushed me over the limit at bedtime. I yelled, and then I started sobbing so hard that I had to sit on the floor. I hate that my children had to see that. I'm so overwhelmed. I listened as Kira continued. But I work with a woman who lived through the Bosnian War, and she's still smiling, so I figure I should be able to do this. I should be grateful and stop complaining. Erica continues, I'm not a parent, but I recognize the voice of this particular demon all too well. Your pain isn't legitimate, it taunts. Sorrow is a competitive sport, and you're a loser. Only when I'm upright again do I manage to tell that demon to take a flying leap. Pain is the most common human experience, along with our body's primeval appetites. From my own intimate history with sorrow, pain is also the human experience we most exert ourselves to dismiss or hide away. For many reasons, real and imagined. What a loss it is to diminish our sorrow or fear rather than bringing it to the companions and helpers that we trust and to the proving ground of vulnerability between us. I believe that we're all entitled to our pain, that there's no hierarchy of grief or fear in which someone else's pain invalidates our own. If anything, giving voice to our pain metabolizes it. We come to hold it instead of it holding us. Better yet, sorrow is an invitation to recalibrate our hearts so that we can view one another with both more gentleness and a sense of recognition. You too, me too. It's like a homing device pinging out our longing for connection. My wish for all of us wounded, scared human beings is that we remain watchful for those who would frame love as a pizza with 8 slices rather than its true nature, mysterious and abundant, the place where we knit ourselves into each other's lives, and evidence of our inherent wholeness. So love is the last thing we need to ration. It is the place where we knit ourselves into each other's lives. When I read this essay, Erica's wonderful words, I was reminded of a powerful truth saying from the eminent author, teacher, and activist, Dr. Cornel West. He tells us, Justice is what love looks like in public. Justice is what love looks like in public. As we let our love flow outward, unrationed in all directions, not only does it bring us closer to one another, but it gets expressed in other ways in bigger places. It is love that is the base, the ground of all that is good in the larger world, including justice. So as I was thinking about generosity and abundance this last week or so, I thought of a twist on this quote from Dr. West. Here it is. Generosity is what love looks like in community. Generosity is what love looks like in community. This is true because when it comes to one another in community, we really can only see or feel that love when it's given, when it's expressed, when our feelings are shown to one another in some form, even when that can be kind of indirect. And that is a sharing, a giving away of ourselves, which is generosity. This generosity is shown in our community in so many ways. The love as generosity expressed in our covenant of right relations when we say we will assume good intentions of one another. Our love as generosity shown in our Share the Plate program, where we give away half of our offering each week to groups in the wider community who are working hard to create goodness, justice, and beauty in Omaha. Can anyone think of another way that our love is given, expressed as generosity here? Not a rhetorical question. How else do we show our love by our generosity of everything here?
We are welcoming.
Yes, we give away the generosity of our welcoming to everyone who walks in this door. Anybody else?
Volunteering.
Yes, we give away our love as service within this church and beyond. That's also our love as generosity. So many ways is our love and our generosity of spirit, of resources, of dollars, of time and of care, so many ways our love is given to one another here and beyond. Now, there is something that can stifle our love as generosity in our community, and that is a sense of scarcity. The feeling of not having enough, however we define that. When you are in a place of scarcity, then you don't want to give much of anything away because it might mean you won't have yours. Or you may not want to ask anything of others here for fear that they will think less of you or get angry with you or refuse you. That is also scarcity thinking in action. And as in many communities, sometimes there can be a sense of scarcity right here. And that sense of scarcity is deadly to our love given as generosity here. And that takes us back to Brené Brown's pizza. The idea that our love as generosity is finite, that if we exercise it, it will only be diminished. That if I want to give my pizza away to many people, the slices will have to be smaller and smaller. Here, Michael, here's 1/200th of the pizza. Or if I'm really held in a place of scarcity, I may not want to give away my pizza at all. Or if I want pizza out of my belief in a reality of scarcity, I may not want to ask anyone else to share theirs with me. It's so ironic, as educator Parker Palmer notes, that when we embrace scarcity for what we think is safety or survival or thrift or whatever, we always end up with less than when we had to start. He writes, Daily, I am astonished at how readily I believe that something I need is in short supply. If I hoard possessions, it is because I believe that there are not enough to go around. If I struggle with others over power, it is because I believe that power is limited. If I become jealous in a relationship, it is because I believe that when you get too much love, I will be shortchanged. The irony, often tragic, is that by embracing the scarcity assumption, we create the very scarcities we fear. If I hoard material goods, others will have too little and I will never have enough. If I get jealous of someone I love, I am likely to drive that person away. So this fear and concern-driven idea of scarcity, the idea that we cannot live and be abundant in all ways, just kills love. It kills the love we have for one another, and therefore it kills our generosity, which is our love expressed out loud in this community and beyond. So in order to have this love as generosity, this good community, first, we need to see ourselves as a community and not merely some random assortment of people who wanders into this building for some reason every Sunday morning, other kinds. And not just any kind of community, we need to see ourselves as a community of worth. And what is worthy is noble, deserving, honorable, meritorious, and meaningful. What is worthy has dignity, has stature, has weight, and has consequence. So what happens here in this religious community is something, actually many things, that absolutely do not happen elsewhere, at least not in any other group or organization. We seek meaning here, a connection with one another far beyond the shallow and the trivial. At our best, we offer ourselves in love and vulnerability and intimacy to one another over and over again. And when you believe that this community is of worth, you express it over and over again as your generosity of every kind. You will give and live and love through any momentary sense of scarcity you may have. And all of us have seen and experienced that giving and living and loving here over and over again, right? I close with these words from the Reverend Julia Hamilton, who expresses this sense of worth regarding our Unitarian Universalist communities. She writes, "I have found a profound kind of understanding and realizing how true generosity is actually about learning to give deeply and meaningfully. Not just giving away a little bit at the edges, not just by freeing yourself of what you already don't need. Clothes that I drop off at Goodwill were already on their way out the door. The dollar that I put in the street musician's hat won't be missed by me at the end of the day. Even donations that I make to other causes are often framed in the smallest of terms. Less than a dollar a day, the mailing request. And you get those free address labels. What a bargain. But I don't come here because I'm looking for a bargain. If the only gifts that were given to this Unitarian Universalist congregation were those that fit comfortably into the margins of our lives, I would be worried, because it would mean that this place, this project, this grand experiment that we enter week after week together is only marginal in your life. The dream that we have together, living with integrity and authenticity, seeking the deepest meanings, calling and welcoming all kinds of people, nurturing wonder and joy, inspiring action, and loving all those here and beyond. These things are not fringe benefits that come along with a mug and a tote bag. They are aspirations that demand a recognition of their worth. And then these aspirations demand our best selves, our sustained attention, our deepest faith, and our wildest generosity. So may it be here among all of us, now and always. Blessed be.